You see, our title today is called Fight for God. Now, if that sounds a little over the top or kind of doesn't sit right with you, give me a chance to explain later on. I'll try to make clear what my thoughts are with such a title. And our verses are Ephesians 6, 18 through 24. They happen to be the last verses of this great book of Ephesians. So my message today is going to close out the great letter to the saints in the Ephesian region of Asia Minor. I am so sorry, you guys. Do you see my clicker? We need Jesus. We need Jesus, don't we? Oh, my goodness, we need Jesus. And I did that too quick, too. Okay, so we're going to close out the great letter to the saints in the Ephesian region of Asia Minor. So let's briefly recap this rich letter, and let's pound on the nincompoop that's up here. Paul writes from prison. Here's this recap of the letter. Paul writes from prison in Rome around 60 to 62 AD to these young churches, young believers, in a hostile location and time. Ephesians was the home of the temple of the Roman goddess Diana, and it was a center of pagan worship. In the midst of this great spiritual darkness was birthed groups of new believers, new churches, by God through the ministry of Paul during his time with them there. And now the light of these young believers was shining in stark contrast to all the darkness around them. And these young in the Lord believers dwelling among pagan worshipers needed instruction in the way. They needed assurance and confidence in grasping the reality of all that they had in Christ and all that they were in Christ. And they needed instruction in how to live this new life, how to actually live it out in action each and every day. They needed to learn the mystery of the church, the body of Christ, and to live as his body in a dark and hostile environment. And just so we today need to know who we are in Christ, what we possess in Christ, and how to live in Christ in today's dark and hostile environment. We need to be all that we can be in Christ. And this is what the book of Ephesians teaches us. The first three chapters of this letter inform us of who we are and what is ours from spiritual birth to Christian maturity in Christ. The last three chapters of this letter instruct us in how we are to live out our Christian life from spiritual birth to Christian maturity in Christ. In Christ, that's Paul's recurring phrase in this book. And it should be ours as well. Our own life's phrase and motto should be in Christ. In Christ must be the who of who we are, the why of our purpose, and the what of our daily activities. All that it means to be in Christ is what Ephesians expounds to us. And so with that as an introduction and a super brief summary of the letter, let's turn our attention to the final verses of this great book given to us by God, the Holy Spirit, through the personality of the Apostle Paul. So now to today's entire text, Ephesians 6, 18 through 24. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you also may know how I am doing and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Now recall that Pastor Jay has just concluded last week, the week before, describing to us our spiritual armor and its application in verses 10 through 17 of this chapter. And note the obvious. It's armor. Shields, helmets, breastplates. Why armor as a picture of our Christian life? Don't we desire the picture of our Christian life to be a perfectly beautiful day? Just you and Jesus blissfully lounging on a comfortable blanket next to an overflowing picnic basket full of delectable goodies. Isn't that the picture we'd rather have as our Christian life? Why instead a stark, sharp image of our Christian life as being clad in armor prepared for battle? Because our Christian life is a battle. We do have a foe. A foe whose greatest desire is to cause us defeat in our Christian life. Well, is this right for you? Is your Christian life a battle? Maybe you're thinking, I'm not in any spiritual battle. I'm not engaged in any spiritual warfare. My life as a Christian is pretty good, pretty comfortable. I'm good. I don't break the law. I don't hurt any other people. I don't need to get involved in any spiritual battles. Well, consider this. Our warfare is against our foe who has lost us for all eternity. So he is not going to stand idly by if we additionally begin to live all out and solely for Jesus. Earlier in this chapter, verse 12, we read, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." There is an enemy to Christians. He's not happy that we have become Christians. So if you are not being confronted and opposed by Satan, it can only be because Satan has no concern about you. If you and I are no threat to Satan, if you and I are not living all out for Jesus, Satan will probably leave you alone. Because in that case, Christian, you're exactly where Satan wants you to be. If you are content and satisfied to be saved and nothing more, to live your Christian life in silence and never taking a stand for God's glory and honor, then Satan need not spend any energy or effort on you. For you are no threat to him and his causes. But I'm certain that all of us here today, listening right now, truly do desire to live all out for Jesus. And so we will be engaged in a spiritual warfare with our foe. So let's together examine fighting for God. Our first verse is Ephesians 6:18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Notice, first of all, the very first part of verse 18, that's a little p, that's not a capital P. It's a continuation of the preceding verse. Verse 18 is a conclusion of the spiritual armor dissertation, with prayer being the last piece of our warfaring. Prayer is the energizing agent, the catalyst, the power source for the using of our armor. Here's what God is instructing us through Paul. Okay, I've just put on all my armor. Well, now what? What's the next thing I'm supposed to do? Well, the next thing is to go. Go forth into the battle. Enter the battle fray. How do I, once I'm fully armored, enter the battle fray? By praying. See? Praying. We go forth into the battle through prayer. And prayer is the power source for our armor. As an illustration, a couple of illustrations. First illustration is, think of modern heavy armor, like a tank, or a fighter jet, or an attack helicopter. Here's a Cobra helicopter. But this Cobra helicopter is sitting on the ground. It's out of fuel. The rotors aren't turning. It's just sitting on the ground. Now, you can get into your armor. See, there's a soldier in there. See that soldier there? He's in his armor. But there's no fuel in the tank. And if there's no fuel in the tank, that soldier will not be able to carry out his commanding officer's orders in the battle. All he can do is rest on the ground, but he's in his armor. He's in his armor, but he's not in the battle. All he can do is rest on the ground. Prayer is the fuel to fill our armor's fuel tank, which enables us to take off and engage in the warfare. Or on a smaller scale, you can be fully dressed in your armor, but find yourself frozen in your tracks, unable to move. Think of the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz. Remember how Dorothy found him? Rusted tight, rigid as a dead tree. He's in his armor. I see breastplate. I see a helmet. He's holding a weapon. He's in his armor, but he's not moving. In that condition, he cannot carry out his commanding officer's orders in the battle. He can't do anything. He's just standing there, but he's in his armor. Why might a Christian, why might one of us, while fully clad in our armor, be frozen in our tracks? Maybe we're not confident enough in Christ to enter the battle. Maybe we're doubting all that God has promised us for the battle. Maybe we're afraid of man or man's opinions of us if we fight for God. Maybe we're afraid of Satan. I'll touch on this again towards the end of the message, but this guy, when oil is applied to his joints, see, there's the oil can. When oil is applied to his joints, he is able to be freed up to engage in the battle. Prayer is the oil to keep our armor functioning smoothly and efficiently. It keeps us active in our spiritual warfare. Prayer is in concert with our armor. It's woven into and surrounding our armor is prayer. To be victorious Christians, we must do more than putting on our spiritual armor. We also must be bold enough, courageous enough, committed to Jesus enough to enter the battle. And God is telling us in these verses that the way of becoming bold, courageous, committed, confident is through prayer. These last verses of Ephesians will give us 8 points on fighting for God. Point number one, we fight for God against the enemy by praying at all times. Praying at all times, see? What do we do all the time in our life? Every day, all the time, without thinking about it. We breathe. The spiritual, the atmosphere around us puts pressure on our lungs, and it causes our lungs to expand, and we breathe. As Christians, we live in a spiritual atmosphere, which puts pressure on our spiritual lungs, and we breathe in prayer. Now, in life, if we hold our breath, we're not going to be very functional, very, very efficient. So also in prayer. If we hold our spiritual breath, if we stop praying, the results are always bad. So we are to pray at all times, always. Paul has the same instruction in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where he says, pray without ceasing. There is to be an always character to prayer. No set times, no tradition, no rote, but to have a constant attitude of prayer. The Greek phrase is literally at every opportunity. This exhortation means that, let's say when we are tempted, we hold the temptation before God and ask for his help and deliverance. When we experience something good and beautiful, we immediately thank and praise the Lord for it. When we meet someone who does not know Christ, we are instantly asking God to draw that person to them and to use us as faithful witnesses. When we encounter trouble, we pray to God as our deliverer. In other words, our life becomes a continually ascending prayer, a perpetual communing with our Heavenly Father. The essence of prayer is simply talking to God as you would to a beloved friend, without pretense or flippancy. Praying always means having your mind and heart set on Christ continually, and having at all times, and seeking at all times to be alone with God. That's an incredible opportunity to be alone with God. That should be the Christian's one great desire, to be talking with God seamlessly and ceaselessly. What a privilege and a blessing for us Christians. How sad that so many believers spend brief amounts of time with God or don't go to him at all because they've got so little to say to him. Instead, pray always. Pray while you're driving. Pray while you're walking, you're working. Always pray. Don't forget, we are engaged in warfare. There's no time to relax or take our eyes off of the battle. That's just when the enemy will attack. So because communion with God is so vital and prayer so effective in the fulfillment of God's plan, the enemy attempts constantly to introduce errors into our understanding of and commitment to prayer. Therefore, our communion with God must not be brief or shallow, but it is to be always. This is the activating agent of our armor. Also, since the ultimate purpose of our salvation is to glorify God and to bring us into intimate, rich fellowship with Him, failure to seek God in prayer is to deny the ultimate purpose of God. Our fellowship with God is not meant to wait until we are in heaven. God's greatest desire and our greatest need is to be in constant fellowship with Him now. The spiritual battle rages around us now. So our constant fellowship with Him right now and always is crucial to our warfare. In this warfare, which is called our Christian life, go deep. Go deep alone with God in prayer. As it says in Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. That's how you go deep. Quit thinking about things here. Set your minds. Set on things that are above, on God and His glory. In so doing, we bring our spiritual armor to life. Point number two, we fight for God, still in Ephesians 6:18. We fight for God against the enemy by praying at all times in the Spirit. Here's where the power for our warfaring comes from. As we also read in Jude 20, we are admonished to pray in the Spirit. This is not referring to charismatic praying in tongues or gibberish or so-called angelic speech or hyper-emotionalism. No craziness involved here, just God-infused power. Remember back in verse 12 of this chapter that we're wrestling against spiritual forces of evil. So our battle is to be carried out in the Spirit of God. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, we read, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." We need to be in the power of the Spirit. Our weapons are not of the flesh, but of the Holy Spirit. Do you see this? Do you see what this is saying? We have a power conduit, a direct line in prayer between God, the Holy Spirit that lives in here, and God the Father that empowers us. When we pray in the Spirit, we align our minds and desires with the mind and desires with His mind and desires, which are in concert with the will of the Father and the Son. Well, so how do you make your prayers consistent with the Spirit? By walking in the fullness of the Spirit. Back in Ephesians 5:8. I forgot that slide. Back in Ephesians 5:8. Actually, I turned the page too soon. Sorry. To pray in the Spirit is to pray in the name of Christ, to pray consistent with His nature and will. To pray in the Spirit is to pray in complete agreement with the Spirit. For as we read in Romans 8:26 through 27, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That's our super strong power conduit. When we don't even know what to pray and we don't even know what the will is of the Spirit, He will take care of that for us. He intercedes for us. As your life is filled to the brim with the Spirit and you are walking in obedience to Him, He will govern your thoughts, so your prayers will be in harmony with His. So we need to be filled with the Spirit. Don't get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. That's how we walk in harmony with the Holy Spirit. That's how we pray in harmony with the Holy Spirit. As you submit to the Holy Spirit, obey His word, and rely on His leading and strength, you will be drawn into close and deep fellowship with the Father and the Son, and you will be tapped into the power source for engaging in the battle. And take note, check it out. To be filled to the brim with the Spirit means you are not filled to any degree with the world or with yourself or with any known sin. We must be filled to the brim with the Spirit, fully armored to engage the enemy. So rely on the Spirit's power as we fight in this spiritual battle, not our own power. Zechariah 4:6 tells us, not by might, but by His Spirit. Our might, our own power, is like a particle of dust restraining a hurricane. But the Holy Spirit's power is almighty. So we pray to the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. Point number 3, we fight for God against the enemy by praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. As we don our full spiritual armor and engage in the battle through prayer, we are to pull out all the stops in prayer. We utilize all prayer and supplication. God has provided all the resources we need to engage in this spiritual warfare. And prayer is the key to appropriating those resources. So the battlefield is no place for timidity or shyness or reservedness, but rather the battlefield is the place and time to pray with all prayer and supplication. Pray with all kinds of prayer, confession of sin, petition for mercy, strength, and wisdom, thanksgiving for God's Spirit within us, for answered prayer, and for grace and forgiveness. Pray in private, in public, in silence, vocally, passionately, pleadingly, confidently. Pray when you have attained the spiritual mountaintop, and pray when you find yourself in the low valley or in the pit. Pray every waking moment with every possible kind of prayer. For our foe in the battle takes no breaks or vacations. The battle ensues. Are you a true believer in Jesus and you're still breathing? Then you are still in the fight for God, like it or not. Satan will cunningly attack you with deception and guilt. He'll try to shame you into guilt about your past, even if your past is just 5 minutes ago. But my friend, when Satan reminds you of your past, quickly remind him of his future. He is bound for the eternal lake of fire. Satan is an ultimately defeated foe, and our Jesus is the victorious Almighty God over him. So pray anywhere and everywhere, anytime and at all times, with every type of prayer at our disposal, as provided by God on high, and administered by God, the Holy Spirit, in here. Take all things to God in prayer. No sin is too big. No problem is too small. For Jesus is Lord of all. Point number 4. We fight for God against the enemy by praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, keeping alert with all perseverance. In prayer, be always on your guard, lest your enemy should surprise attack you. Watch. Be on the watch, not only against evil, but also for opportunities to do good and for opportunities to stand strong in the battle. Without watchfulness, prayer and all the spiritual armor will be ineffectual. For prayer to accomplish what God wants in our lives, it must be an all-consuming practice that makes alertness and perseverance its most valuable commodities. Paul commanded the Colossians in chapter 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Being watchful. And Jesus, in the garden, said to his apostles, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26, 41. The idea is to be attentive and discerning like a soldier looking for the enemy. Recall the warning in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Be watchful. In our ongoing warfare, be watchful of your own vulnerabilities and also be watchful of the needs of your brothers and sisters. Our enemy does not sleep, neither dare we. Be always alert in prayer. And we are to pray with all perseverance. We must be fervent in prayer. The Greek verb here means to be devoted to warfare prayer, to be courageously persistent, to hold fast, and to not let go. To not let go. We're on a super fast roller coaster, and our knuckles are turning white. We are not letting go. We are persistent in our prayer. To be devoted to warfare prayer is to earnestly, courageously, and persistently bring everything, especially the needs of others, before God. Remember back in Colossians 4:2, it said, steadfastly, continue steadfastly in prayer. That's perseverance. And in 2 Timothy 1:3, we read, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, day and night. Paul was praying for Timothy day and night. We're in this together. Pray for each other. This must be our practice as well in the ongoing spiritual battle. Point number 5, we're still in Ephesians 6:18. We fight for God against the enemy by praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, keeping alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We are in this battle together. Pray for all the saints, because they are your fellow soldiers in battle. This is a call to look out and look after each other, to have each other's backs while in the conflict. We are to bind up each other's wounds and to carry each other when fallen. In warfare prayer, we must fight together and never fight amongst ourselves. We need to, in here, become fellow soldiers. Point number 6, we're on to some new verses. Ephesians 6:19 and 20. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Point number 6 is we fight for God against the enemy through prayer, particularly for those on the front lines. Note that Paul did not ask that he be prayed for to be released from prison or to be healthy and wealthy and esteemed in this world. He asked for prayer that he would be faithful and fearless in proclaiming the gospel as an ambassador of Christ. So are all of us. That's the battle, proclaiming the gospel. We are to boldly and faithfully and tirelessly proclaim the gospel, knowing at the same time that our enemy is devising all manner of deceptions to stop and confuse the gospel message. So we must pray always in the Spirit with all fervency for those who are declaring the gospel, for those leading our church families and shepherding the sheep. Warfare, pray for your pastor, for all of our frontline warriors. They are especially targeted by the enemy. As Christians, we're all ministers to one another as we jointly trust and rely on Christ and serve one another. Christianity is a community. We are all mutually dependent on one another and must act accordingly with goodness to one another and fight back to back in all-consuming prayer within this spiritual battle which we find ourselves. Ephesians 6:21 through 22. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Our point number 7 is we fight for God against the enemy by bearing one another's burdens in prayer. This is a little different, our bearing one another's burdens. In prayer, folks, we need to know how each of us are doing. We need to let each other know how we're doing in our spiritual and our earthly life. Paul wanted the Ephesians to know how he was doing and how his fellow prisoners were doing, so that the Ephesians would be praying for him and his needs. We got to do the same. We got to stop being strangers. We got to be true brothers and sisters and true fellow soldiers in the battle. So please, beloved, be transparent and trusting of and to one another, so that we can and will care for one another and lift each other up in warfare prayer, and that we may encourage one another in brotherly benevolence. Brothers and sisters, let's be there for one another. Let's be there for each other. This is our family. Let's make this the most loving family and caring family ever. And as we do, we honor and exalt our Lord. Ephesians 6, 23 through 24. The last two verses of this great book. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Our last point is we fight for God against the enemy by promoting peace, love, faith, and grace amongst ourselves. If we promoted peace, love, faith, and grace, that would be an impenetrable wall to the enemy. Out there, the world and the devil oppose us continually. But in here, we must spread love incorruptible. Pray for peace, love, and grace to permeate and saturate this place and all the other places like it in our city, in our country, the house of God, the fellow believers in that house. Pray for grace, love, and peace to permeate our hearts one to another and absolutely saturate our hearts in our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. As far as it is up to you and me, cause love incorruptible to fill this family. Paul opens this letter of Ephesians with grace and peace. And so he closes it with grace and peace. Throughout this message, I have titled my points as Fight for God. In prayer. Fight for God in prayer. Why do I say fight for God? Am I saying that God's a wimp? Cannot fight his own battles? He needs us to fight for him against the enemy? No, I'm not saying that. 1,000 times no to such a silly, nonsensical statement. Our God is the almighty, omnipotent God of the universe, and he has crushed the head of Satan at Calvary, praise his holy name. Well, then why speak of fighting for God? Well, our enemy, though defeated ultimately, is desperate to silence the voice of the gospel. The message that God is mankind's loving heavenly Father. This fight for God that I'm promoting is just this. In this day when God is mocked, cursed, and hated, we need to fight for God to be glorified in us. We need to fight for God to be magnified, exalted, praised, reverenced, and loved above all else by us and in us. And fight for God to be proclaimed to the masses, to all those whom God loves. Who does God love? Everyone. Everybody. Every human being. God does not delight in the death of the wicked. God does not wish that any should perish. Could you, right here today, have that apply to you? Are you not a believer in Jesus Christ today? If that is you, I beg you right now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved right now. Nothing is more important. Come talk to one of us deacons after the service, and we'll show you how to trust in Jesus, and through Jesus, to receive eternal life. Brothers and sisters, we are in a spiritual battle. Choose to fight for God. Choose to fight with God. I ask you, as Joshua asked in times past, who's on the Lord's side? For whom will you fight? For yourself? For worldly desires? Your rights? Your riches? Or for a comfortable life? Or for status or popularity? Or will you fight for God? For God's glory and honor and for his very name? And will you fight for the lost who are perishing without Jesus? For whom will you fight? And the question is, will you fight as God has called us to do? Or are you afraid to enter the battle fray? Do you fear what others will say to you or about you if you fight for God? If you are on the Lord's side? Think of the story of David and Goliath and King Saul. The two armies were drawn up for battle, both sides of this valley. King Saul was a mighty man, the biggest and mightiest warrior in all of Israel. But Goliath was an even bigger man. And all of Israel feared him, including King Saul. But little teenager shepherd David trusted in God. If you take nothing away from this today, listen to this. King Saul's fear of man made him a coward in the battle. But David's fear of God made him victorious in the battle. Don't fear man. Remember the tin man, fully clad in his armor and holding a weapon, but frozen as far as usefulness in the battle was concerned. Don't be timid or afraid of man or our adversary. Of lost man, Paul says in Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's a lost person. But for us, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Fear God and not man, as we fight for God. And as well, do not fear Satan. His head was crushed at Calvary. His best efforts now are simply to deceive us into non-action. You gonna let him do that? Like the tin man frozen in place, thoroughly armored, but useless in the battle. But we can overcome our adversary's deceptions and our fear of man. For in 1 John 4:4, it says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is greater in you is greater than he who's in the world. Who's in us? God Almighty. Whom can we fear? Whom can we possibly fear? So in fighting for God in prayer, beloved, do not fall back, but move forward. How? By loving Jesus radically. By loving Jesus shockingly. Have you ever heard someone boast, I'm such a strong Christian, I'm not afraid of the devil? That's the wrong viewpoint. The question is the devil afraid of you? Is he? Again, if you fight for you, if your fighting is for your rights, your selfish wants, all those things the flesh desires, then you will taste no spiritual victories in the battle, for you won't even enter the battle. If yourself is the aim of your fighting, the devil may indeed get a good chuckle out of you, but he won't be afraid of you. But if you fight for God to be glorified, if that is what your sole aim is in all your life, for Jesus' name alone to be completely glorified, then my friend, you will taste battlefield victory, and the devil will be afraid of you as a weapon in Jesus' hands when filled with God the Holy Spirit, praying and fighting for God's everlasting glory. That's what we fight for, God's glory. Ephesians begins by lifting us up to heaven, and it ends by pulling us down to our knees. Remember that this Christian life is not about making yourself happy and comfortable. It's a battle with the unseen forces of evil. To fight for God against the wicked and crafty enemy, we must be people of continuous, heart-wrenching, specific and wide-reaching, alert, fervent, abundant, sacrificial, in the power of the Spirit prayer. We must be people of prayer. Fight for God's glory through victorious prayer. For such a time as this, let's become fanatical, focused, and phenomenal prayer warriors for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, Father, you have left us here to glorify your name in this dark world. You have left us on this earth after we are saved to shine your light into the darkness. Lord, we are here to be your representatives in a foreign land. And Lord, we must be faithful, strong, bold, and courageous, and people of prayer. You dwell inside us. You teach us how to pray. So Lord, let us be faithful and obedient in praying continually for your glory, in fighting for your very name to be exalted. Lord, use us to that purpose. Use us to bring your kingdom to this earth. Use us to go to the lost and proclaim your gospel message to them, that you again would be glorified. In all things, Lord, mold us into the image of your Son. Let us stop living for ourselves. May we no longer fight for our wants, but only fight for your glory. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.